We're going to turn to Luke chapter 15. I can't hear your pages turning, probably because you're all using these electronic things, aren't you? So I don't know if you're there, but you're probably there. We're going to talk today about the magnetic quality of God's love. How it worked for you, and now it's supposed to work in you and through you. Are you ready for him to speak to your heart? Going to give him permission to just jump right in there and do what he wants to in your heart? Okay. Father, thank you. Thank you for your precious, precious love and your word that tells us who you are and how you love, and that we can experience such a love. Thank you. Lord, we just open up our hearts right now to you and give you permission. Have your way. Have your way in our hearts today. Right now. Lord, we all desire more of an experience of your love, not just knowing about it, but to really, truly experience it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for granting that to us, for helping us to experience who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I know I explained to you quite a while ago that the Lord challenged me to pursue love. I was reading 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, and it says, "Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." And I heard the Holy Spirit inside say, "Read it again." I said, "Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." Read it again. I did it again, out loud. He said, "Do it again." I said, "Okay, I'm smart. Am I missing something?" And he said, "Did you ever do that? Did you ever pursue love?" I went, I think the answer must be no, or you wouldn't have me asking this question. So I said, "No." He said, "Would you?" "Yes, sir, I will." That was 11 years ago. I got my little journal out where he was speaking to me on it. And since then, I've collected all kinds of information about love. I have a whole notebook full of scriptures and songs and poems and things he's spoken to my heart and revelation on different verses. And what I have discovered, there's no end to it. This pursuit will take us to eternity. Because if I can say that, you know, I probably got that much, I can now see from here, and I can see there's miles and miles and miles and miles and miles more. And we are supposed to experience this love, not just get it in our heads, but to, you know, like when you fall in love. You know, sometimes you act real stupid. You're kind of goo-goo and gaga and talk funny and do funny things. I'm not looking at you, Jason and Julie. But, you know, when somebody touches your heart and you can't think about anything else, you're experiencing love. And then you get married and you experience more. And that's what God wants for us. See, we're his bride. He wants us to experience his love. So about 6 weeks ago, somebody was sharing with me about the prodigal son and how that that passage just ministered to him. And I was listening to this person share, and the Lord was speaking to me, saying, "I have more to show you. I have more that you don't know about this." And I thought, well, man, that's been one of my favorite parables for a long time, but I, yes, sir, I'll go back. And you all know the story, I think. Does anybody not know the story of the prodigal son? You don't have to be ashamed, because I'll just tell it to you. Okay. There's a father. He's a Jewish father. And when a Jewish father is going to die, he shares his inheritance with his children. And the firstborn gets a double portion. Everybody else gets a single portion. So if there's three children, he would divide it four ways, and number one would get two parts, and then number two and number three. Well, this father had two sons, and the younger one came to him and said, "Dad, I want my inheritance now." That was a real slap in the face to a father. But this father divided it between both of them. So the young man, a few days later, packed up all of his goods. He got a U-Haul, put everything he had in there, all the dad's goods that he got, the cash, whatever, and he head out, and it said, to a faraway country, and he partied hardy. And he had lots of friends to party with. You know, you don't ever have to party alone if you're just doling out the cash. And he lived a very wild life. And he just, man, he had such a good time in the world. Then he ran out of money. All his friends disappeared. You know, that does happen.
Yes, it does.
I worked at a car lot with my first husband, and I remember walking in one day to unlock, to start the day. There's a young man sitting in front of the door. Oh, he looked like a hippie. And his clothes was dirty, torn. His hair was down to here, wild, unwashed. And I said, "Can I help you?" He said, "Where am I?" I said, "You're at Fulton Autos." "Yeah, but what state am I in?" I said, "Michigan." He went, "What city?" I said, "Grand Haven." "What happened to you?" "Oh, my dad died and left me a lot of money. I went out and partied. Boy, did I have the friends. I had so many friends, you just wouldn't even believe it. And then I ran out of money. And now my little Volkswagen Bug is broke down. I don't even know where I am. I don't have any money. I don't know what to do. Could you help me?" And I thought, "Wow, you're the prodigal son today." All of his friends just disappeared. Well, we fixed the guy's car. He eventually paid. But this young man went to Teen Challenge, met a woman there. They got married. And they became addiction counselors at a local facility. I had a good ending. You know, this prodigal son, he got to the place, the one in the Bible where he starved. So he goes, it says here, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. When it says that, it means that, "Hello, I'd like to be your slave. I just need food." So the guy sent him out to feed the pigs. That was the lowest of the low you could get for a Jewish family, to feed the pigs. And he went out there, and he wanted to eat the pig food. He was so hungry. And then it says, he came to himself. "Aha, at my dad's house, even the servants are eating. I will go back. And I will go to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he went home. He headed out home. And then it says that his dad saw him coming, welcomed him with open arms, had a party for him, gave him a robe, sandals on his feet, a ring on his hand. Life was good again. He said, "My son was dead and now he's alive." And I'm reading all that, and I said, I know the story, Lord. What in the world am I missing? See, there's such a depth to his love that we sometimes miss it. And he said, go back to the beginning. And I went back to, there was a certain man that had two sons. He said, no, the beginning of the chapter. I said, oh, okay. And it opened my eyes to an amazing God who loves every person, no matter their condition. His love, over the top, over the top. So I'm going to just take you down the steps in Luke 15 that the Lord took me down and give you a chance to experience his love like he gave to me. Luke 15 starts with, and then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him, being Jesus, to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. First off, Jesus had to have some kind of a welcoming, non-condemning personality that would draw sinners. Tax collectors, they were thieves. They could go up to you and say, you owe taxes, I want it right now, and get it, whatever. These tax collectors were Jewish people that were working for the Roman government, so they weren't even, like most people, just didn't even like him. But they came to Jesus, and it says he received them, and he ate with them. Man, if you ate with somebody back in that day, you were valuing them. He values you, no matter what your condition is, no matter what mess he found you in, no matter what mess you're in today, he values you. And he says, come on in. Come on in. Now the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't like that. They're the legal schmiegel people of the day, the religious ones. They know the rules that you had better keep or God's not going to like you. And they kept all the rules, so they thought. And not only did they keep them, but they made their traditions equal to the rules. So they had rules upon rules upon rules. When they went to tithe, they're so picky-uni about it that they would tithe, you know, like grains of salt. One here for me and 10 for God. And oh, no, it's 10 for God and one for me. They were nitpicky. They knew the Messiah was coming. The scribes were the ones that got the transcripts and wrote out the word. They wrote out the Torah. They knew what it said. So they, of course, being better than the sinners and the tax collectors, challenging Jesus, how dare you sit and eat with them? Don't you know who they are? And then he tells the little story. There's a man who had 100 sheep, and he lost one, and how he went and searched for the one and then had a party. Called all his friends together when they found the one that had been lost. And he said, you know, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just people who don't need to be repenting. It was like saying, see, if one of those sinners, those tax collectors, repents, they're worth more than 100 of you that don't need to repent. Now that's like a Holy Ghost slap. You ever get a Holy Ghost slap? I get them. They're really good for me. Now he goes on and he said, there's a woman and she had 10 coins. Now to even make a story up about a woman was not a good thing in those days because women were, they had, man, no value. No value to the Jewish. They were less than dogs. They, you know, Jesus is valuing a woman. To make a whole story about her. And she's got a couple of bucks. She's loaded. She's got 10 silver coins. She lost one. She cleaned her house, found the one she lost, called all her friends, and had a party. And he said, see, there's joy in heaven in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then he goes on to tell the story about the prodigal. About the man who, demanded the goods from Dad. And I said, Lord, what in the world am I missing? Please share me what I'm missing. He said, you all read that story. You hear it. You read it. And you can relate with the prodigal who came home. He said, I want you to see Dad. I want you to see the Father. It said here that when he was yet a long way off, that the Father saw him. Now this word saw is he perceived, he discerned his son was coming home. He had a knowing inside. It wasn't a visual seeing because he was a long way off, the same as the son went a long way off when he took his goods and left home. He couldn't be, you know, the Father knows when you're coming home. For you, for me, that day, if you're born again, that day that you came home back to him, he knew you were coming before you did. He knew. And he had compassion. That means he had violent emotions going on. My son is coming home. My son is coming home. Oh my gosh. And he ran. And this isn't just a, this is a, you know, that kind of running. He ran like a race. He ran like a race to get to the stinky, dirty, pig-feeding son who took all his money and blew it. He ran to him. He hugged him. And that hug is a, oh, let's see, how did they word it? It's a great, seized him with great affection. Kissed him all over his face. Son, oh, my son, who was dead, has come home. I was that son. How many of you were that son? You know, when I read it, I said, Lord, I didn't feel your hug. I didn't know you saw me beforehand. Can you show me how that worked for me? And he did. I went out for a walk. I'm thinking about it. And he just said, and if you do this, you got to have your pockets full of Kleenexes. He said, the son is you. Picture yourself right now. Close your eyes. Where were you? What condition was your life in when you got serious with your Father God? However bad it was, it doesn't matter. But I want you to go back there in your memory, in your mind. Create that picture. Use your imagination to see this passage. And you lost it all. You've got nothing to offer God. Nothing at all. And you said, I got to make things right. I'm going back. I'm going to my Father. I'm going to God. Maybe it was your first time. Maybe it was your 10th time. It doesn't matter. For me, I was sitting in the lounge chair in the living room watching Christian television. He knew I was there. He knew you were coming. He knew you were coming. He's running toward you like he's running a marathon. He is running. And when you two meet, no matter how dirty and ugly you are, he hugs you and squeezes you and kisses you. He loves you. He loves you. Let your heart feel that. Nobody matters right then. Nobody but you. Nobody matters. You might have come in drunk, high. You might have come in right after you had some something immoral happening in your life? Maybe you're like a tax collector and you just stolen something. You're just plain a rotten, no good sinner. It doesn't matter what it is. The Father had compassion on you, saw you coming. He knew I was coming home from work that day and I was going to sit in that living room and I was going to turn that TV on. He knew. And when I was out walking and he's showing me this in my heart, I just started weeping. Oh my gosh! This isn't just like my Father. This is God Almighty. This is God Almighty, who's perfect and holy and just in every way. And he's hugging you and loving you like you're the queen, like you're the king. You're so special. He gives you your robe of righteousness back. He puts sandals on your feet. He puts the ring of authority on your hand. He welcomes you back to the family. You don't have to go back to square one. He welcomes you back. What a father. What a father. Since the Lord showed me that, I have meditated on it many times, and every time the love gets more intense that I can receive. You know, we often can't receive his love for lots of reasons. But if you let him, if you tell him, I don't know how to receive that kind of love, but I want to. Go ahead. Here's my heart. Do what you want to do in it. He will. He will. I'm sure that was shameful, painful, humiliating to that boy. He had gone and done major stupid and blew it. The Father didn't bring one of those things up. Not one. And he doesn't bring your past up either. He doesn't rehash your junk. What a God. What a God. What a God. He loves you like that. I want to challenge you to meditate on this. Take it home and spend some time. Because there is absolutely nothing like experiencing in your heart that God has accepted you, that he's made you righteous, that he's forgiven everything. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. So then we got son number two. He's saying, I hear there's a party. What's the party all about? Well, your brother's back. That did not bless him. That did not bless him. But the party was the party that Jesus was talking about when the guy found his lost sheep and when the woman found her lost coin and the joy in heaven. Do you know when you came to the Lord, there was a party? Maybe nobody's ever thrown you a party in your life. Heaven rejoiced because you, I could list your names, you. Can you just see the angels shouting? Carol's come home. Bethany's here. Oh dear, there's Christy. Wow, yay! Let's have a party. There's Bob. Oh yes, let's have a party. That day, that moment. Ah. Heaven had a party for you. Huh. Huh. So when you're ever feeling like you're a nobody and a nothing, go to chapter 15 of Luke and put yourself in that place and enjoy your own party. Because you can. You're the star of the party. They're rejoicing for you because you've accepted the greatest gift you could ever. Holly, they got to have a party for you. I love it. I love it. But son number two, who who had already gotten two-thirds of Dad's good, son number two, he's not blessed. He is not blessed about this whole thing. You know, don't we get like that sometimes? We see God blessing so-and-so. Well, why not me? Look, I've been volunteering at church for 5 years. Oh, where's my blessing? I even give to every mission that I can think of. Where's mine? How come so-and-so gets so blessed? Don't we do that? Yeah, we do. Come on, you guys, you can be honest, you're in church. But you know, I said, Lord, tell me about this guy. He said, the church looks a lot like him sometimes. Ooh. I think it's in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says that he has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. But we go to him and say, God, I need money. Oh, God, I need healing. They had a miracle. Oh, what about me? God. And I can just see God in heaven going, hello, I gave you Jesus. He lived, he died, he rose from the dead. It's all yours. We are to take it by faith. We're waiting for him to dump a bucket of blessings on us, and he's already dumped it. People, please. It's so important in this world we're living in today that we understand what he has already given us. We always fight our battles from a place of victory, not for victory. We have been given the victory. We have been given the goods. We've been given the promises. But sometimes we act like this knucklehead here and said, hey, what about me? Hey, what about me? I want some goods. God wants us to know him. He wants us to know his heart. For God so loved the world, the first verse any of us ever listened to. He wants us to know his love. And you know, so often we don't. We know it here. We've got the verses memorized. But do you feel the love? Can you read those verses and get right in there? Go, oh, God, you love me. You love me. You love me. Oh, God, you love me. You know, we've used this scripture many times. It's in Philemon, I think it's verse 6. Well, I should just read it. Philemon, he's that little tiny guy. I think he's right after. You know, he moves around. See, he used to be after Hebrews. Now, today, he's ahead of it. The sharing of your faith will become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You have everything. You already have everything. But we don't say we have everything. All we do is say, I need this. I need that. And God wants us to say, you have provided it. Therefore, I believe it. Therefore, I have it. And that's when we start seeing things working in us. From healing. I know people have been dealing with sicknesses. And I know it's no fun when you don't feel good. And I know it's hard to not feel good and say, I feel good. Oh yeah, I'm not hurting. I know that. But you know, we acknowledge, Lord, you said, by your stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed. Even though my body right now is disagreeing, I'm putting my heart, my spirit in line and my mouth in line with what you say, that I am the healed of the Lord. You'll get up out of bed much quicker when you do that. You won't get the sympathy. I know. We like that, don't we? We all like those strokes. Oh, you're not feeling good, honey? What can I do for you? Give me a slap and speak the word. I need the word. Sympathy won't get me out of bed. Sympathy won't heal me. It'll keep me there. We need to get tough with ourselves. We don't like to, because we're nice to us. You know how we are. Now, I want to touch on how the Father acted through this whole thing. He gave his son what he wanted, even though it wasn't what the Father wanted to do. How often, be careful when you go to God and say, I want this. You might just get what you asked for. There's a psalm that says that he gave them what they wanted, the desires that they had, but there was leanness in their soul. That's what happened to this poor guy. It's better to go to the Father and say, what do you want for me? What's your plan for me today? Instead of telling him your plan and asking him to bless it. Lord, what's yours? What kind of things do you want me to be talking to you about, believing you for? What kind of things do you want me to be studying about, reading about? Ask him those things. This father let him go. That's hard for a parent. I know there's lots of parents here that have children that are either not born again, never knew the Lord, never accepted him, or did and have walked away. It's heartbreaking. But if you look at the example here, the way this father did it, he let him get to the bottom of himself. You know, the bottom of your barrel, if you don't know the Lord, is a good place to be. Because there's nobody with you. Your friends are gone, your money's gone. That's when you get face to face. So parents, if you have children that are at the bottom of their barrel, don't preach to them. Don't chase them down. Don't nag them. Trust the Lord. And you say, well, that's easy for you to say. You don't have any kids. You're right, I don't. But I believe the word. And having been that kid, I left home because somebody was always telling me what to do and what not to do. And you better do it this way because that's what the Bible says. And they did it they loved me. They didn't understand God's grace at that time. They didn't understand free will even. They believed a lot of sovereignty, and they were pushing sovereignty at me, and I pushed back. I left home. If they want to go, let them go. Let them go. They need to go. You know, every person finds God on their own. Nobody gets their inheritance in heaven because of what mom's coat strings, or dad's, or a friend's. Everybody believes for themselves. Give them space. Parents, that as hard as it is, I encourage you to give them space and don't preach. When I had my moment at home with the Lord and I repented watching TV that afternoon, I was married to a non-believer and I said, okay, Lord, what do we do about this? And I said, how are we going to save him? Huh. You can see my thinking was a little messed up. And this is what he said to me so clearly, in my heart, not out here. He said, you love him to me. Don't preach, don't nag, don't push. Give him all the space I gave you. And I said, okay. You know, that's not easy. But I want you to know, if you're the husband, the wife, the mother, the dad that's going, listen, Johnny, I told you you better. Do you know what God says about what you're doing? Blah, 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 blah. You're not winning them. You're not going to win them. I want you to win them. I want you to win them. I'm not picking on you. I understand why you want to be firm and why you want to get in their face and tell them what they're doing wrong. I understand that. God understands that. But he loves them more than you do. You have to believe he loves them more than you do. Give them space. Give them space to do stupid. You probably did stupid. So see how good you turned out? You know, none of us were born in a manger and lived a perfect life. I didn't, y'all didn't. And we know that about each other. Give your kids that much space. Those people you love, those friends and family members. You can't shove Jesus down anybody's throat. He doesn't fit like that. He comes inside here. It's not down here. Please. You'll be happier. So, when you're having a hard time with it, bring yourself back here to that place where you got born again, where you came face to face with God. Can you trust God to do that with your kids? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you can't, God, I'm struggling at trusting you with my family. Would you help me? He'll help you. It won't be easy, but he'll help you. And it can be done. And he wants to do it. And you don't want to rob them of that moment when God perceives them coming. And he's running to them. And he hugs. You don't want them to miss that hug where you drag them to Jesus. They're not happy being there. They're not happy. They're not going to live for him. They're going to run away as soon as you let go and take the noose away from their neck. You know, they have to get there by themselves, the same way you did. He's so good. Do you know how good he is? There's a verse in Psalms that said, I would have fainted unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We're in the land of the living. We are here. Do you believe you're going to see the goodness of God? Is your God good? Do you have any questions about his goodness? Do you have any questions about his love? If you do, face it. You know, we want to always just do things right. And we want to come into church. How are you doing? Oh, great, great. Just praising the Lord all week. What? That's what I was doing. Yeah, uh-huh. And I know somebody threw you under the bus and ran over you. But I'm doing great. I'm just doing great, great, great. I'm just doing great. You know, you don't have to tell everybody everything. But don't hide it from the Lord. He's reading your mail. He's not reading it to anybody else, but he's reading it. So you might as well, those things you really struggle with. What would have happened if son number two would have talked to his dad sometime during that time when his brother was gone and got to know his father's heart? He didn't. He says, hey, Dad, you never threw me a party. here, I've been working for you, I've been working for you, I've never failed, I'm not late for work, I do all my work, I do what you say, you never threw me a party. And Dad says, now listen to this, parents. This was a great preaching opportunity that Dad didn't take. He said, son, you're always with me. And all I have is yours. He just spoke the truth. He called him son. He valued him. He said, the goods are yours. They're yours. But see, it was for the son to go and figure that out himself. So I was raised with the sovereignty teaching. If God wants you to be saved, you will. How do I say, I don't know why you're worrying, Mom. He must not want me. He doesn't want me to go to church tonight. He wants me to stay home and watch Ed Sullivan and Lassie. I know he does. Because would I even want to if he didn't want me to? Well, I could mess with her mind. And I'm sorry to say that I did sometimes, that she didn't know what to do with me. But you know, I've studied sovereignty, free will. This whole chapter screamed free will. God let the sinner come. He let the tax collector come, and the Pharisee, and the scribe. He didn't stop one of them. He valued each one. No matter where you are, he values you. He values you. Do you know he values you? Is that not precious? The greatest mind in the universe values me? Oh, praise God. He had a party for every one of us. Every one of us. Heaven had a party. Lord, show us the party. Show us. Show us how heaven rejoiced. Because, honest, I got a little glimpse. But it's so small. Father, show us. You know, when you get to these scriptures that you go, really? Show me. Lord, show me. I want to know. I want to know. Since that day 11 years ago when the Lord challenged me on, it says pursue love. Are you doing it? Come on, girl, are you doing it? I've read the word differently now. When it comes to these places that he says to do, I have to look at them all and say, I don't think I'm doing this. Can you help me? And some of it is, I don't really even want to do it. I want you to help me want to. Because underneath everything inside of me, all my rotten flesh, it's like your rotten flesh. If you got the Spirit of God in there, you want to do what pleases your Father. That's what you really want. There's some satisfaction you get when God says, you did good. I know it was hard, but you did good. And I love you. And I know you're struggling. And I know you just screwed up. But I know you're trying. I love you. I love you. Let me just hug you, okay? You know, you have to have that place in your heart that you can go to and get a hug when you need it. The world might not. Maybe even your family won't. God always will. Always. 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 I just failed you another time, Lord. Come here. Let me give you a hug. Stay with him. Stick with him. Spend time in that hug. Get to that place where you're experiencing his love that day you repented. I've done it enough now that I can go back there quickly. I say, oh, what a place. What a place, Lord. What a place. And when I go, what gets written on my heart is Father loves you unconditionally. And you know, that doesn't make me want to go do stupid again. Even though he would love me if I did, it doesn't make me. It does just the opposite. You want to please the one that loves you like that. You want to please him. That poor son number two, he had 2/3 of Father's goods and he didn't know Father's heart. Lord, we don't want to be like that. Father, we don't want to be like that. And whatever it is, we know of your heart. Show us more. Show us more. Show us more, Lord. You are love. You are love. Help us to see it on every page when we read. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, it was just yesterday that he brought me to that verse in 1 John chapter 4 that said, God is love. He said, do you believe that? I thought, this is another trick. Man, I've just been having a good time over here, and Luke, what are you going to say now? And I said, yes, yes, Lord, I believe that. You are love. You're my Father. You love me all the time. This is what he challenged me with, and I'm going to pass it on to y'all because I love you. Everything you read that God did or said, find the love in it. We have been trained to find things that are not lovely about our God in here. He said, everything I ever have done from day one is based on my love. Find it. Look for it. Ask me to show you. When you get there and it doesn't look like it, talk to me about it. Don't just go, oh, well, that doesn't match that. I'm done with this book. Don't do that. Talk to me about. Show me your love in here. I don't see it. I want to see it. I want to see it. He wants to show it to you. Or he wouldn't have sent Jesus. If he didn't want us to know love, he would not have sent Jesus. Will you accept that? Will you let him love on you? Will you let him bring you to that place where you can see and experience that love? I mean, I hope you all go home this afternoon and lock yourself in your little your prayer closet or bathroom, whatever you have to do if you got to get away from the kids, and go there with him and say, show me. Sometimes it helps us to see how ugly we were, to see the magnitude of the love he had in spite of our ugliness. And it will just touch your heart like it's not been touched before. He is so precious. His love is so amazing. Amazing. I want to pray for you right now. If you have family members that you really are struggling with, I want you to just raise your hand. Well, Father, I know you see every hand. You know every child's name that is behind that hand. You know every experience that has happened between the mother and the father and that child. You know it all. Lord, we trust you. I want you to see that child in your hand and release them to him. Let him go. Can you trust your father that much? Let him go. If you've been guilty of preaching and nagging and chasing him, ask God to help you stop that. Just do what he says. Trust him. The way he loved you is the way he loves them. Thank you, Lord, for every child, every husband, every wife, every friend that this represents, Lord. We trust you to be that kind of a father. And help us to let him go and find you on their own. Lord, I thank you for putting people in their lives that will point them to you in a way that mom and dad or a relative can't. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you never fail. Your love never fails. That if there are people that have accepted you, your word says, when we're faithless, you're faithful. Even right now, when they're running so fast to get away from you, you're faithful. You're faithful. Thank you. And thank you, Father, for showing your love to us. And Lord, on behalf of everyone here, I want to say we are expecting to have more experiences with your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if any of you want prayer for anything, we have some prayer ministers up here in a moment. Please come up and get prayer. If you want to go, if you want to just stay sitting there and just have some time with the Lord, do that. You know these little side rooms are empty. You can go in there. Don't, if the Holy Spirit's moving on you, please, don't waste that. Don't waste that. Other than that, I love you. You are dismissed. Go love on somebody. Experience God's love. And we'll see you later. Next week.